Welcome to the Believer's Toolbox with Innocent Times, a podcast dedicated to teaching you the essential tools for living out your Christian faith in a practical and understanding way. Today we are starting another series, and it's going to be called The Faith Helpers. And this series is to help you to boost your faith, to keep your faith in God during a storm. I'd like us to share a word of prayer before we go into today's teaching. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would grant my listeners the ability to understand and to grasp the essential tools to help their faith, to apply their faith in tough times. In the name of the Lord Jesus, grant them revelation knowledge in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Like we always do in Believer's Toolbox, we go through the scriptures. The scriptures is our guide, is our text, it's what we learn. Our key text or key scripture for this series is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Before we read this text, I'd like to just give you a brief background on how this series came about. So, several years ago, I was pastoring a local church at that time. And the local church I was pastoring at that time, it was a season where a few people, men in the church, you know, husbands and fathers, had lost their jobs, and I was in a time of prayer, fasting, calling out their names, talking to God for a breakthrough for them. And also at that same time in my own personal life, I had financial goals, financial projects, and everything was coming to me at the same time. That my brothers in church were having their own challenges, even my own personal life as well. I had my own that I was dealing with, and I used to take out time to pray and fast. I used to have somewhere to go to, like a campground. I could go pray for 6 hours, 12 hours, just believing God to get a breakthrough for my brothers and also myself at that time. And that's how this whole series started. And in the midst of my prayer, then the Lord gave me what I'm about to share with you in this series. And he told me some key things called faith helpers. And he said, if you do these things, or if you know these things and have a revelation of these things, your faith will be strong in the midst of the storm. And he taught me these things personally. I'd never heard it from anywhere else. He taught me that season, and over time, he gave me more revelation. And I'm going to share that with you. And I believe that whatever you're learning, whatever faith you're going through, is your faith shaking at this moment, stay with me through this series. I'm telling you, you're going to have boosters to your faith, and you're going to get the reward of your faith. Praise God. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, it says, on the same day, when I'm reading the Amplified Version, it says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And leaving the throng, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting. And other boats were with him. And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportion arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat, so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to them, hush now, be still. Muzzled. And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm and a perfect peacefulness. He said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust? and they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly, and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? This is our key text for this series, and you're going to get blessed. I'd like us to just go back to 35. You know, it says that on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. You know, many times people, or many of us, start out with a word from God, maybe in the place of prayer or through scriptures, or when we're in church, we got a word and we held on to that word and we say, this is God talking to me, this is God speaking to me, this is what God has for me. Maybe you have a vision that God has shown you and you are acting it out, you are pursuing it. This was what happened with the apostles, or with the disciples at that time. They were disciples because they were just new believers. He said that on that same day when he had come, Jesus said to them, you know, it wasn't just their own idea. It was Jesus that said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Let us go to the other side of the lake. He said to them, so has God said something to you? You know, faith is always easy to start. A faith project is always easy to start. You got a word from God. God said something to you, or you read it in the scripture and you are acting it out. It's always easy to start. Many people don't have a problem starting out in faith. The problem most of the times is when we get to the middle of the road. When we get to the middle of the journey of our faith. Verse 36 says, and leaving the throng, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. Now, verse 37, and a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportion arose, and the waves kept beating to the boat, so that it was already becoming filled. Now, don't forget that amongst his disciples was Peter. Peter was a fisherman. These were expert fishermen. For them to get to the point where they became scared of the wind, it meant that it was serious. And the Bible puts it here, it was of hurricane proportion. It wasn't just a gentle wind blowing on the seashore. It was of hurricane proportion. It had the capacity to kill them. The wind had the capacity to end their lives. They were heading for a shipwreck. And that's how it is for a lot of us, especially young, new believers. We start out in faith. Oh, God said this to me, and I'm acting it out. And in the midst of it, there comes a storm. And that is where the true test of faith is. There comes a storm. God said this to me, so why am I facing this? I thought God told me to act this. I thought I heard God, and I'm acting out what I heard from God. So why am I facing this? Child of God, you are not alone. We've all gone through that process. We've all gone through that phase where we know we had God. We're sure we had God. But in the midst of the faith journey, the storm comes. Verse 38 says, but he himself was in the stern of the boat asleep on the lava cushion. Jesus was so asleep. And they woke him up and said, I'm sure they had some angry faces. Master, do you not care that we are perishing? What a question. You know, I know maybe for those that are very mature in their Christian faith, they might have never asked this question before. But I have. You know, when you feel situations or circumstances are going so bad and it is irredeemable, and if nothing happens, you are done. You are gone. It's a loss. Or you're praying and it looks as if God is not acting, or God is not doing something. Many believers have asked this question in their heart. Lord, don't you care about my situation? It's getting bad. It's getting so bad. And I remember one time, a long time ago, you know, over 10 years ago, I was going through something at that time. And it was It's as if the situation kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I asked God the question. I said, God, don't you care about this situation? It's going to get so bad, I can't do anything with this. You know, I can't do anything with this. And I remember what the Lord told me then. You know, I'll share it in the latter part of this series. So I'm saying, have you been in that place? Or are you in that place right now where you are asking God, don't you care about my situation? Don't you care that I'm going to perish with this trouble? I'm going to perish in the midst of this storm. In fact, Lord, I'm perishing already. It's not that I'm going to perish. Lord, I'm perishing. Don't you care? What a question. What a question. Lord, don't you care? Lord, I know sometimes some might feel condemned. You know, don't get condemned if you feel that way. No, this teaching, it's not to help you get condemned, it's to help you go through it. Don't get condemned. Sometimes we learn faith, and that's one of the things we're doing with Believers Toolbox, is to help young believers, teaching them the basics, the ABCs of their Christian faith. Don't get condemned if you have faith challenges. Don't get condemned if in the midst of the storm your faith is shaking. Don't get condemned. No. The Spirit of God is not the spirit of condemnation. It's the spirit of encouragement. It's a spirit of encouragement. Don't get condemned if your faith is shaking. No. No. Your faith is going to get boosted in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go to the next verse. And let's see how he responded to that question. And today I'm going to focus on that question. Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care? Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now, be still. Muzzled. And the wind ceased and sank and rest, as if it had it exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm and a perfect peacefulness. And he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no trust, no faith, no firmly relying trust? His response to them about, Lord, don't you care? Aside hushing the wind, he asked them a question. Don't you trust? So what is faith? What is faith? Today I'm going to be helping you understand what faith is in the simplest form. And that's what we do, making things as basic for you to understand. I know that there are different definitions of faith, different examples of faith, different illustrations of faith. Faith can be looked from different angles. But I just want to bring the basic. What does faith mean? What does faith really mean? A simple definition of faith is trust. Verse 40, Mark chapter 4, verse 40 says, he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And he says in bracket, no firmly relying trust. I want you to read the Amplified Version, Amplified Classic Version of the Bible. You know, it brings this out. No firmly relying trust. So a definition of faith, the reason why they asked a question about care was their faith was shaking. Lord, don't you care? That question came because their faith was shaking. And in responding to that faith question, really, was, look, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? I know that faith is the sort of things hoped for and the other things not seen. I know faith has several definitions, but the simple basic definition of faith is trust. And this, in fact, if you look at Mark chapter 4, they were just beginning to know Jesus. So they were young believers. Right? They are not really grown in the things of their knowledge of Christ. He said, don't you have trust in me? Don't you have trust in me? When you're going through a storm, one of the things that you should have at the back of your mind is your trust in God. Is your trust in God. Don't you have trust in me? What does trust mean? Trust means a firm belief in the reliability, the trust, the ability, or strength of someone or something. I got this from the dictionary. What does trust mean? A firm belief. A firm belief in the reliability, trust, ability, strength of someone or something. So invariably, Jesus was saying, hey, don't you have belief in me? Don't you have to rely on me? Don't you rely on me? He's saying, I've got the ability. You have to trust me. I've got the strength. You have to trust me. Jesus was talking to them and he said, look, the response to your question on if I care about you is that that there's something happening to your trust for me. Whenever you ask that question, Lord, don't you care? Your trust in God is shaking. Your trust in God is shaking. Your trust is in his ability, in his reliability, in his assurance, in his reliance is shaking. Whenever you ask that question, you have doubts about God's reliability. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 37 verse 5. And today I want to talk to you about what it is to trust God. From the scripture, not just from what we think. You know, sometimes we relate with God like we relate to other humans. And that's why we have a lot of room for doubt. Psalm 37 verse 5, the NKJV says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I want to show you the importance of trust in your relationship with God and in your faith projects. In when you are believing God for something, when you're in the midst of the storm, after you've taken those actions that God told you to take, you must keep your trust. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see the importance of trust and having your faith goals, your faith projects. He says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You need your trust. You need your trust to be firm. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. Trust him and he will help you. God's Words Translation puts it this way. And trust your ways to the Lord. Trust him and he will act on your behalf. I love this. Trust him and he will act on your behalf. So if you want God to act on your behalf, your trust has to be in place. Your trust for him has to be in place. Praise God. Trust is important. Trust in God is the simplest definition of faith. Whenever your trust is being attacked or is being tested, your faith is being tested. When you're in the midst of the storm, is a test of your trust. God told you something. You took a step, just the way they took a step, and they were now in the midst of the sea, and the storm came. Something happened to their trust. Psalm 56 verse 3. Today we are just laying a foundation for the series. It's going to bless you, I assure you. Psalm 56 verse 3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh boy. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Oh, glory to God. Child of God, put your trust in the Lord. That's what faith is. Put your trust in him. 100%. No room for doubt. No room for fear. He says in God, verse 4 says, you know, let me read from verse 3 to 4. Psalm 56, the New King James Version. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. Oh, In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Trust in God eliminates fear. Trust in God drives away fear. You trust in His strength, in His ability. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 to 4 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Are you seeing the importance of trust in our walk with God? The importance of trust. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he has faith in you, because he has trust in you." Don't forget what Jesus said. How come you do not have trust in me, which is faith? And he's saying here, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Oh, it just reminds me of when they were in the storm. The Bible says that they had perfect peace after Jesus hushed the storm. He said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Child of God, put your mind on God. When you are in the storm, put your mind on God. Not on the storm, but put your mind on God, because he trusts in you. Put your mind on God. To preserve your trust, you have to put your mind on God. Put your mind on his word. Put your mind on what he has done for you on the cross. Put your mind on him. He says, verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever." Glory to God. "For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength." Glory to God. Trust in the Lord forever. Don't trust in God today and tomorrow you're wavering. Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. You know, trust is so important. Very, very important. Very important. In every relationship, trust is important. Psalm 40 verse 4. It says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." He says, blessed is the man. Oh, you are blessed. For trusting in God, there is a blessing. For trusting the Lord, there is a blessing. He says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, trust in the Lord. There are no options. In God, we trust fully and completely. There are no options. We do not trust ourselves. We do not trust our ability. We do not trust our finances. We do not trust our parents. We do not trust anyone as much as we put our trust in God. Yes, we can have faith in people to a degree, but not as much as we trust God. In God, we put 100%. There is no room for failure. Glory to God. Let's bring this to a wrap. Two more scriptures. Psalm 13 verse 1 to 6. I want you to go back and go through all the scriptures and see the benefit of trusting in him. Go back and read them. Meditate upon them. Psalm 13 from verse 1 to 6. I like to read a translation. It's called the Easy to Read Version of the Bible. It says, "How long will you forget me, Lord?" I like this because many of us find ourselves in this situation just like they found themselves in the midst of the storm on the sea. It says, "How long will you forget me, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you refuse to accept me? How long must I wonder if you have forgotten me?" Oh, are you in that place right now where you feel maybe the Lord has forgotten you? "How much must I feel this sadness in my heart? How long will my enemy win against me? Lord my God, look at me and give me an answer." I can relate to the psalmist, and I'm sure many of you can relate when problems linger for too long. Many of us get to this point where we ask God, "Lord God, Look at me and give me an answer. How long must I feel this sadness? How much must I feel this pain? How much must I feel this broken heart? How long will I remain jobless? How long will I be without a child? How long will I keep feeling this pain in my body? How long will my enemy win against me? Lord, my God, look at me and give me an answer. Make me feel strong again, or I will die. You know, this might sound like you don't have faith. And you see, Christianity is not about pretense. Faith is not about pretense. You know, I hear things like fake it till you make it and things like that. No, faith in God is not about pretense. No, we are real with God. We are dealing with a real God. Hallelujah. Verse 4. If that happens, my enemy will say, I will beat him. He will be so happy that he won. Verse 5. But I trust in your faithful love, Lord. I'll be happy when you save me. Then I will sing to the Lord because he was good to me. Verse 5 again. But I will trust. I will put my trust in your faithful love. I'll be happy when you save me. Trust is so important. Trust in God is so important. As we come to an end of today's podcast, I'd like to remind you that faith, the simplest definition of faith, is trusting in God. And faith means to trust in God's ability, His love, His strength, His integrity. For God never fails. God bless you. I'll see you on the next episode of the Believer's Toolbox.